counsel by words without knowledge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here this morning. Lord, I pray that you work in me. Father, cure this ailment that I'm struggling with right now. And Lord, I just pray that I not be a distraction to your word being preached. Lord, be with each and every one of us. Help us not to grow distracted or tired. Keep us awake, Father, and keep us focused on your holy word today. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. It is important for us to always note and always remember that God does not like to be misrepresented. The average Christian, I believe, has far too much assumption in their theology. It is farcical to apply your theories on life to what Scripture says. Job and his friends were barking back and forth over who God is, what he is doing, and what his intentions were with what was happening with Job. And we see that for the most part, the more interesting parts of the book of Job really take place within three chapters. Everything else is just people going back and forth and arguing over God's intentions and what he had to say, and none of it being of any real value, to the point to where God himself came into the situation, stopped the conversation, and said, "This is what I'm saying. Who are these people who are darkening counsel? Who are these people that are twisting my intentions?" We fail God when we misrepresent him, and we misrepresent him in three different ways that we can note. Number one, when we speak where he has not spoken. When we try to deem or guess or say that we ourselves are intelligent enough to know God's intentions where he has said nothing. The other way that we misrepresent him, so not just in our assumptions on his intent, but when we take his word and we twist it to make it say what we would like it to say. One of my favorite coffee mugs that I have seen said, I can do all things through a verse taken out of context. Right? And how often do you see that? Where you'll see one verse that'll define an entire theology. But if you read the verses around it, it contradicts what everyone thinks that it says. We talked about that in our coffee meeting. Very thankful that folks are still turning out to that. I figured by now people would just stop being there. Now again, I'm not trying to pressure people one way or the other. If you can come, come. If you can't, you can't. I just figured at this particular point there'd be nobody there. So for us to have one or two always makes me smile, but sometimes we'll be good to have a dozen or so in there. So that's nice. But all the same, we were talking about that, those two very famous words in the book of Matthew, "Judge not." And all the fun that is being had with that verse. Judge not. That does not mean that we get rid of God's notion of right or wrong. It just simply means that in condemning others, we'll be treated the exact same way. That we should have an even judgment throughout. That we should not have rules for ourselves different than we would have rules for others, but we would rely on God's wisdom for all of it. What God says is wrong is wrong. What God says is right is right. We cannot dive into that trying to manipulate what God says to better fit what we want. So again, by ignoring or trying to imagine his intentions and speaking on behalf where he hasn't spoken, twisting what he has said, and the next one, we try to completely remove God from the conversation whatsoever. Much of theological debate, and I use the word theological loosely because it's children guessing at old stories that they heard when they were kids, trying to make theology out of it. But they try to define Christianity without Christ. They want salvation, but they don't want to talk about the blood of Christ. They want religion, but they don't want rules. Those people who disregard God entirely try to remove him out of it to where we can have a moral club as opposed to a Christian church instead of a Bible-believing church. These are the fools that remove the word Baptist from their name in hopes of catching a few more people. These are the folks that try to change what the Bible says with its newest and latest and greatest version, slowly removing things one after the other. I got into a conversation with somebody one time, and I quoted a verse, and they said, well, I've never heard that verse before. I said, well, get your Bible out. And they pulled out their phone, and I said, go to this verse. And they went to the verse, and the verse wasn't there in their version. Why? Because it was inconvenient. So that in the version that was created, it was left out. They didn't have that there. It didn't say that. Why? Because they didn't want it to say that. When we misrepresent God, we get answers like we see in verse 2. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? You're talking, but you don't know anything. Isn't that the worst? Well, yeah, you'll talk to an expert on something. Well, what's wrong with it? Well, you see, models like this, they had a peculiar thing where they did the but yeah, it's a complicated. You don't know. Just say you don't know. That drives me nuts. If you don't know, just say, I don't know. Don't overtalk me. Don't try to make it sound like you do. God here, he answers something in verse 2. He says, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? God immediately gets into it. Hey, who do you think you are to answer on my behalf? Who do you think you are to play guesswork at me who hung the stars? I did all of these things. I created all of this. And you're talking as though you are me. The creation puts itself at the same level as the creator. And believe it or not, that makes the creator angry. And it bothers me that people would look at a verse like that and say, well, that's not the God I see. Then you're ignoring things. How dare we tell God that he is not allowed to be against certain things? Well, it's wrong for us. No, it's not wrong. God can sit there and say what's wrong. He created it. He made it. He set the boundaries. He can set the rules. He made the earth to spin. He could tell us how to live. Coming down basically saying, who do you think you are? Were you there when I did this? Were you there when I achieved that? There are people this morning, no doubt, sitting with closed Bibles in churches that barely use them. At Flat Rock, we have that drop-down PowerPoint. And one of the things that Pastor Hugan always refused to do is put the Bible verse that he's preaching on up on there. Because you know what it causes people to do? It causes them to shut their Bibles and leave them shut. You know what? You know why you also don't want to do that? And he was very clear. He didn't say this from the pulpit. He said it to me. You know why you don't do that? Because it stops people from being able to read the verse in front of it and the verse behind it. And if they get into the mood to read the entire chapter around it so they understand what it is you're saying. You don't get that in false religion. We were talking to that guy who came to fix the chimney, and he was talking about how we need to have a focus on Scripture, and people have lacked that, and I like that. That's pretty good. We do. Every time I get up here, it's almost like I'm daring you to check my work. I wouldn't do that in math class, but I'll do it right here. Check what I'm saying. And if I'm wrong, believe me, I want to know about it. I want to know where I differ from what God has to say. Because I don't want the tongue lashing that Job got. I don't want that. I want to be right. He starts off, were you there? Who did this? Who created all this? As creator and the only one that was there, God is the authority on life. He created it, designed it, and cultivates it every day. We, however, were not there when the Bible was written. We were not in the halls of heaven when God inspired the words. When he formed man in his mind, we were the thing being formed. We have no authority. We have no ideas to how that happened. He not only gave life, but knows best on how it works. We do not have the understanding that he has. We can debate creation so we're blue in the face, but God was there and he did it. We argue genetics and DNA. God was the one who wrote the code. An archaeologist pulls at clues and surmises because he was not there. God tells us clearly because he was and formed many of those things himself. He affected all of those things himself. We do not get to build philosophy based off of our guesses when real true theology, real true doctrine sits in front of us. How dare we try to use inferior products, inferior devices to try to create something God has already created? We talk about this a lot around here about replacing appliances. And it can be hard to replace an appliance because you'll have something for 50 years. Replace it with something that'll last for two. Why? Because before it'd be made out of metal, it'd be made with craftsmanship and pride. They'd want to make something that would last a while. Why? Because they're building the brand of their name. They didn't have things like social media and YouTube to make them look good. They actually had to build a proper product for you to want to buy it. Right? Maytag had to build it off of what? Creating good products. God built a wonderful world. We're putting together with plastic what God made out of stone. We cannot try to create philosophy that has already been created. Verses 1 through 15, he takes them through the score of creation. Men contradict the Bible and they call it theology. They correct the written words to twist and to mar other scriptures to support their own theories and doctrine. These fools were not there. I promise you that it will always be my attempt not to do this from this pulpit or anywhere where I try to represent God. I have to answer for what I say. Many of these men out there, they're going to answer, but I feel they're going to answer in front of a different throne than I will. Because folks, when we are talking about God, we need to be accurate. If I'm talking in my business and I make a mistake, I can pick up the phone and I can call that customer. I can call my boss and say, hey, listen, I made a mistake in XYZ. This is the truth of it. I'm sorry. If I stand up here and I make such a mistake, yes, I can do the exact same thing, but it cuts deeper. It is a deeper thing. I have misrepresented the Lord when I speak falsely. That is why each and every one of us, whether you're behind a pulpit, in front of a classroom, filling the pew, no matter where we are, no matter what we are doing, we must be properly studied because we are called to speak. We are called to represent God at the doorstep, in the grocery store, at the workplace, at the family reunion. We are called to give the gospel and to behave in a certain way. And if we don't, we represent the Lord wrong and we have to answer for that. We must all be good students. It bothers me when I hear a person say, well, I'm no theologian. Well, then you are no child of God. Be a theologian. Study. And I understand some people say that in the realm of, well, I'm not an authority on it. You know what? You could study it for your whole life and never feel like you're an authority on it. Study it all the same. Amen. Let us not contradict God. I've often had to answer several questions in my life regarding to things that are not in the Bible. Why does the Bible say to thine own self be true? It doesn't. That's Shakespeare. Right? Well, why does it, you know, why is it, what was it somebody hit me with recently? They were talking about, it was some sin that was mentioned in the Bible that somebody in the Bible had committed. Well, why does the Bible say to do that? It doesn't say to do that. It just said that some sinner did it. It wasn't an instruction to sin, right? Polygamy, I think, is what it was. Well, why is it that they had so many wives? Well, that's not God's will for them to have so many wives. They just had them. Believe it or not, they're sinners in the Bible. And it talks about sin in the Bible. Why? That we may learn from it. Not to do the sin, but specifically that, not to do the sin, right? Not how to do it, but to not do it at all. He hits them again and again all throughout the next couple chapters. Do you know as much as I know? We look at science today and the things that we're learning, and it's just downright miraculous. I've been watching that helicopter out on Mars, and I don't know why. But I'm really fascinated by that. I think that's really cool. Now, some people would say, well, I don't think that's really going on. I don't care. It's entertaining, right? Because to me, in my point of view, I've flown one of those drones before. You ever fly one of those kitty drones before? You know what I do every time? I crash it into the ceiling, into the wall. I'll fly it up. The wind will take it. I don't buy them. I can't fly them. These guys are flying things that are a whole space away. Right? Space away. And they're flying this thing, and they're like, well, it was a little bumpy today, and me, I could barely keep the one in my front yard from sailing into the neighbor's car. Right? So that gets me. We're learning things. Things that God knew from the beginning. Say, hey, look what kind of dirt's over here on Mars. Look what we find. Look at the acid levels, and look at this, and look at that. God's like, I know, I put it there. We pull apart the human body and we're learning things about the mind and about the nerves and about our structure. And God goes, I know, I put it together. And the people, I've always heard biologists, they'll talk about this, how complicated and complex things are. In our human physiology class, we were dissecting animals, and they were more complex every time we would do the dissection. Again, I just thought I had a really good science teacher. Mr. Dickinson was awesome. But we'd start off with something as small as like a giant worm. We'd pull that apart, and it would get slowly more complex. And he would always bring that out, the complexity of the animal, as you get bigger with it. And as you get more intricate, you see more details to it. It was gross. I didn't enjoy it. But I got the points. And you think about it, when you look at a human being, and what sets us apart from the rest of the animals, and even animals that are kind of like that. You look at sea animals that use sonar and echolocation. It took us centuries to figure that out, and now we've got sonar off of that. God goes, well, I invented that back in the beginning. Where were you? Again, we try to believe that we are a step above based off of what we think we know. God knew it all along. So then I would, well, brother, that's a great point, but where does that sit on a Sunday morning? That's where I head over to the person that speaks on behalf of God, but does not listen to God, and I tell them to be quiet. I've often gotten gruff about how angry I get about false teachers and false religion and how I come off sometimes kind of mean about it. This is why. Do you understand why we have so many denominations today? It is not for freedom of choice. It is not because the Bible is that hard to understand. You go into some of their churches, they don't even rely by the Bible. They do what they want. They say what they want and call it tradition. You want to know why that happens? Because the devil designed it that way. Amen. Right? You think about a squid. How does a squid get out of danger? Does it fight? Sometimes. Does it run? Yes. But what does it do first? It shoots out that ink to cloud the water. Right? If you're fishing, you'll see that they'll kick up a bunch of dirt and head off. So you can't see which way they're going. If I cloud the waters, the people can't see where to go. He doesn't have to bring down every Baptist church. Bible says the gates of hell can't prevail against his churches. So you know what he's going to do instead? He's going to cloud the water. He's going to build this up to where there's so many different religions, it almost seems impossible to want to wade into it. And how on earth could you say that you're right when there's 500 other people calling themselves Christians that disagree with you? Well, I'll tell you how to fix that problem. You get into this right here. Amen. Right? I am not a Baptist by choice. This book turned me into one. That was it. If I sit there and I give to study and I give to understanding and I put my heart and I put this into my heart and into my mind, that's what I become. I can't argue for any other religion out there when they contradict what the Bible says. I was watching a debate and they were going back and forth. And there was very clear verses. Right? I'm trying to mend my relationship with apologetics. And to hear apologetic preachers go at each other, just, it irritates me. Right? I'd rather watch two women fighting at a grocery store over the last whatever. I can't. I'll go shopping on Black Friday before I'll want to sit there and listen to two apologetic preachers debate each other. Because you know what they do? They dance. There's a solid verse that says thus and be and that. And you know what they do? They avoid that. Oh, no. Why? Because it doesn't satisfy their argument. It doesn't satisfy what they have to say. Well, listen, you don't get your own argument. You get the one God gave you. Job and his friends back and forth, this is God's intention and this is God's intention. No, you're wrong, I'm right, you're wrong. And they're going back and forth on this. None of them stopped to say, God, what do you think? It was all about what my opinion is, what I thought it is. Today we argue back and forth, I want my voice to be heard. You know what? Since we've thrown away truth, individual voices is all they've got left. That doesn't make it any less flawed. It doesn't. Brother Mark and I, we were talking about the Atkins diet, because I like to talk about diets I'm not doing. They're easier said than done. There's a reason why that we keep saying that. We're talking about the Atkins diet. We were talking about how people thought that Michael Atkins, right? I don't know if it's, but Dr. Atkins, many people thought he died of a heart attack because if he was on his own diet. I thought he had a heart attack because he was ancient, like 90-something. Brother Mark goes, well, no, brother, it's this right here. Now, you know what? Now, it sounds crazy, but there's a lot of people out there that put their foot on the table. No, no, you're taking away my, you're telling me I'm wrong. I have a right to, no, I was wrong. I didn't Google it. I still might be right. I don't know. But in my opinion, it doesn't matter what your opinion. What's truth? What is truth? Well, I don't like that my voice is being silenced. If you're wrong, shouldn't you want to be silent? Right? I tell you what, if I'm pulling up, now we've all got GPSs, so it doesn't count anymore. But I remember back at a time where we didn't have them. If you're pulling over, you need directions. Would you rather have somebody guess at it, or would you rather have the truth? I'd rather have the truth. Get those people, sometimes they give interesting directions. Well, you got to turn at the McDonald's. You know, go on down for a while, you're going to see a giant rock. I always used to struggle with those. Like we grew up downriver. There was a McDonald's everywhere. The only thing you had more than McDonald's was Subway. But the question comes down to this. Do we really know as much as God knows? No, we don't. And if we don't, guess what we do? Stay silent. Don't talk. He even asked them, verse 16, "Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? Or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all." Think about some of the biggest questions we have today, 2021. What are some of the biggest questions we have? We've searched a lot of the sky. We don't know a lot about the ocean floor. We don't. The very same question that he asked Job thousands of years ago, we still don't have the full answer to. How about this one? What happens after death? Have you been there? Do you know what it looks like? Do you know what happens? You don't know what it looks like. I know for a fact where I'm going when I die. I don't know what it's going to be like. I've been close a couple times, but I've never seen the other side. And I'll tell you what, I don't think God would have ever let somebody see the other side and have them come back. I think once you're there, you're there. We don't have the answers to these questions. God does. How dare we claim to be believers and pretend we know more than He who built everything, designed everything, and knows how it ends. We don't know His reasons. We don't know His designs outside of Scripture. Scripture is where we live. Scripture is what we go back to. We know a fraction of what happens in space. We only have theories of what happens on the ocean's floor. And very few of us will ever be able to see the other side and come back and talk. None of us will be able to. Join me over in verse 31 of our text. "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go, and say unto thee, Here we are." I tell you what, we were all kind of hoping that yesterday at the party. So hold off the water. You know, I want to control the heavens for just a little bit of time. And then afterwards, that was a pretty good storm that came afterwards. I'm glad that it was a good build-up to, it was good. But we can't create any of that. I can't stop that. I can't cause it either. I can't look out over at my withering fields and reach up into the sky and pull down water to give them those nutrients that they need, give them that water that they need. I can't do that. God can. And I am fed up with people who are, again, not the lost, but people who grew up in church, who have the Bible, who barely read the Bible, and still pretend as though they've got some say in what it says. Get into that book. I want to take some of these people aside that are making millions of dollars in religion and ask them, how many times have you read the book? I talked to somebody one time. They were, I didn't talk to them. I misspoke. I was listening to somebody talk on how they memorized the Bible, how they memorized the entire book of Acts. And then they were going to go memorize the entire book of Genesis. And if you knew anything about what they taught, it contradicted the book of Acts. And it contradicted the book of Genesis. How can you read it and still be so far off? I want to take them aside and ask them, how? How is it possible? I pick on songwriters too sometimes. How? How could you write that into your song? We're not talking small mistakes. We're talking big contradictions to truth. How could you put that in your song? Well, you know, every now and then you got to spice it up. Are you kidding me? Every now and then I've got to add to, take from the Word of God. Have you ever visited the bottom part of the book of Revelation? Did you get so scared by the first part you bombed out? What happened? It said don't add to it, don't change it, don't take from it. Where are you doing? What are you doing here? There's so many questions about these things. Verse 36. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom? Or who can stay the bottles of heaven? When it comes down to wisdom, we need to realize that we're not the source of it. And I get sick and tired of this world thinking that they are. That's what we've taught so many young people for so many generations. Is it is possible for you yourself to hold dominion over wisdom and correctness? Almost to the point to where some people believe that you can be right just because you're right, just because it's you. And many times Job accused his friends of that. All right, it seems like you guys are the source of all wisdom, right? He accused them of that. Oh, you guys are the only ones who purvey in wisdom. You yourself are not the wellspring of knowledge. You are born not knowing anything. Follow me on this? You yourself do not develop sound doctrine. You do not develop your own wisdom. It must be taught. Amen. Danielle and I always played a game with the kids. And you can think of me what you want with this, but it's always been fun. Who can get their name said first? Is that bad? It's probably bad. I don't know. Right? And you know, I think Xander said daddy first. Dada. Yes. Why is that such a big achievement? Because you're not born being able to say words. That's what we are. It must be taught. Everything in you was put in you. You weren't born with the DNA in you to create correctness. That's why the whole idea of your voice being silenced or heard is ridiculous. Let the truth be heard, and if I'm wrong, let me be silent, that I not look like a fool and show myself the fool, as the book of Proverbs say. It is better to be silent than to let that stuff out. We are born with little strength and little wisdom. Let us not ever get to the point where we listen to men who deny both the soundness of God's teaching and the wisdom of His Word. Let us not follow them and chase after them. Let us hang tighter to the Bible and what it has to say. And I like what Job has to say. If you take a field trip with me to chapter 40. Chapter 40, verse 1. And moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. What God is saying to Job is, you're arguing against me, but can you really teach me? What can you teach me that I don't already know? You're fighting me, but I know the answer. And that is so frustrating when you see Christians and their problems. And you see the world with all of its issues. And you see families falling apart and churches falling apart. You see them making decisions that are contrary to the Word of God. And you try to bring the Word of God into the conversation and they shut it out. Why? Because their knowledge to them over exceeds what the Bible says. They think they've got a better understanding of it. And through the twisting of scriptures and the manipulations of thought and word, they think that they're going to be okay, not realizing how much damage that they're causing their lives. It is the very same as if I were to say, hey, listen, your car needs an oil change, and you go out and you use olive oil in the engine. Well, oil, is it not? It says right there, oil. And they make all their arguments and all the things, and yet you put that into your car, and what's going to happen? I don't know. Try it. Let me know. Give it a shot. See what happens. And that's what I see with the use of false religion, the use of emotion, and the use of fake arguments and just pallid attempts at trying to discern scripture beyond what it says. That's what I see when I look at that. Somebody making a grave mistake, somebody using a sad look-alike, a sad misrepresentation to try to build off of, and you can't. When I was in theater in high school, we used to have props. So I always thought it was kind of cool. And we went to another school. I was out in Pinckney, and they showed us their prop department. And they had this giant boulder in the room. And the guy who was in charge of the props was showing us all the little toys and all the little things. I thought it was really cool. And he went over, and he just picked up the rock, and he threw it. It was made out of foam. For a half a second, it gets you. And then you realize where you are and what's going on. You're like, okay, I got it. But for a half a second, he'd whoop, and it got all of our attention. Some of us, and some of these fake preachers out there and these false denominations out there, and even us in our private interpretations to justify our sins, we're building on fake rocks, and we're wondering why we can't get the foundation laid right, why there's cracks and why there's seams and why there's busts in what we're building. It's because the foundation is poorly laid. It is the wrong foundation. It is sand pretending to be rock. It is not the rock that is Jesus Christ. It is not the strength of the word we're using, but we're using some sad facsimile, some weird facade, and we're pretending that it's real. We kind of see a bit of a collapse in Job in verses 3 through 4. It says, now that I have heard you, I'm going to shut up. And I'll tell you what, haven't I always said, and I'm going to keep saying, the two most powerful, most helpful words in your life will be shut up. Again, not words to say, that causes the trouble, but they are words to know when to do them and when to not do them. Right? And Job, he knew his spot. It's all, this is the time I do shut up. You know what? I'm going to be quiet. And God again answers him back and says, listen, gird up your loins. Right? Now you think about girding up your loins. You did that as men, but they would tuck their bottoms of their robes into their belts when it was time to get some work done. If I had somewhere to run, or if I was out working in the field, if I was going into battle. So you often see that phrase, gird up your loins. Take your little tails, put them up. It's time for big boy work. And again, we could put that into any gender that you like. Big boy work, big girl work. It's time for adulthood. Let's put off our play clothes. Let's put on our work clothes. Right now, we're in our dress clothes. We look nice, right? God's saying, put on your work clothes. We're going to do something. I'm going to talk to you. You're going to answer me. And he lays out some more knowledge and some more wisdom. We need to know when it's time to shut up. Stop talking. Right? There's many preachers sitting behind pulpits today. That'd be the word from the Lord to them. Same as to Job. Shh. Put on your big boy clothes. You need to listen. You've talked, but you do not know. You're arguing, but you have no foundation for your arguments. It's facetious. You need to stop it. And that's what Job said. I'm done. Chapter 42, verse 1. It says, then Job answered the Lord, because the Lord lets him have it for another chapter and a half here. It says, Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. It is time for each and every one of us to get buddied up right to where Job was and realize that I cannot speak where God is silent. I cannot twist his words to match what I want. I cannot try to remove him from my thought process to better achieve my goals. All of it is sin. All of it is folly. We're making mistake after mistake, and we're refusing to remove the poison that's killing us. We need to listen. Pay attention to what God has to say. We overtalk, we overthink when the answer is simple. We put too much thought, too many verbal acrobatics, where simplicity is what we are given. Verse 4, "Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." Think about that phrase, seeing. You know, there's a difference between observation and sight, right? There's a difference between it. For instance, I think I've used this before, that stairwell over there. How many of you know that there are stairs over there? Oh, just a couple of us. Okay, gotcha. How about the stairs going down to the basement back here? You know about those, right? Yeah. There are people who always ask, I've been getting a lot of questions about our Bible conference, right? And I get weird questions. Are there stairs in the back of your church? It depends on your definition of back, but I got stairs all over the place. But you know there are stairs. How many of you could tell me how many stairs there are going down in the basement? I can't even tell you if there's still a bat down there, right? I don't know. When we see that, I see, going back to this verse, "I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." I've heard, but now I understand. I heard, and now I understand. I've had conversations with my pastor. I go back, I say, "Hey, pastor, you know, you taught me this, and you taught me this, and you said, you know, this is why we do certain things. And you know what? I did the thing, and I saw what happened, and you know what? I now understand. I knew, but now I understand." Before I got married, everybody told me, marriage is hard, marriage is hard. Having kids is hard, having kids is hard. And every time afterwards, after I got married, and after a while, you go, "You know what? This is hard. I knew it was hard. I didn't know it was this hard. All right, now I understand. All right, raising kids is hard. All right, yeah, raising kids is hard. I get it. Nope, after you have the kids, I get it. I'm preaching and I want to spank them. I got it." Right? I get that. What Job is saying to the Lord is, "I heard you, but now I see you. Now I get it." It is not through the use of your words that you'll understand. Whereas we always say it here in America, right? Hear with your ears, not your mouth. Hear with your ears, not your mouth. Don't talk to try to understand, unless you're asking questions. Job's restoration involved recognizing God's knowledge, recognizing his authority, and adhering to it. Saying that he will repent and promising to listen. Job revealed his embarrassment in verse 6. "When I speak or assume on behalf of God, I reveal myself a fool." When the answer is right there and we speak contrary to it, we have only ourselves to blame. False doctrine comes from people who are poor in study but rich in talking. God is not mocked, nor is he tolerant of being misquoted. Let us give ourselves to better knowledge so that we can have more wisdom. With that wisdom, we can best represent God for how he wishes to be represented. Let's hold ourselves to a higher standard. What we see today is not only an attack on truth, but the obliteration of the idea of truth, where truth is so subjective that it cannot be found in one particular source or the other. Now that flies in contradiction to true religion that says that there is one truth and one purveyor of truth. They're arguing that. And as the world falls, so follows so-called religion, right? Some of these business churches. And they'll chase after that. Well, you know what? As Unitarians, it's perfectly okay for us to believe this doctrine or that doctrine. As Lutherans, it's okay for us to follow this and tradition and that. As Catholics, it's perfectly okay for us to do whatever we want. And as long as the Pope is sitting ex cathedra and he says it, we've got authority in that. All of that is misrepresenting the Lord. And again, further clouding and causing trouble. Let us avoid that even in the smallest bit among each other. Let us not have it in our church. Let us not have it in our hearts and in our minds and in our homes. Let's adhere strictly to the truth and those that deal in the truth and have nothing to do with the lies. It's almost hard to believe in the word lie anymore. But all the same, it exists. Going back to verse 4, "Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me." Do you see the direction there? Do you see that? "Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me." Now that sounds very formal, but it's just a repetition of what God had said to him. And what he's saying is, please listen, I have questions. And when you answer my questions, I'll listen. I will not guess. I will not make things up. I'll just answer. I'll just listen to the answer. And folks, that's what we need when it comes down to Scripture. We just need the answer. If Job knew God's intentions, it probably would have blown his mind, right? Now you think about it. Forgive my water. I don't normally drink water up here. But if you think about it, we see this kind of argument come up again in the book of Matthew. As a matter of fact, it's the disciples. Was it Matthew? Hold on. Check my notes real quick. I believe it's in the book of Matthew. Forgive me, I don't have that highlighted. Where they're passing by the man who was blind, and they asked Jesus, they said, "Hey, whose sin was it that caused him to be blind? Did he mess up, or did his parents sin, and they rewarded, and God rewarded him with a blind child?" And Jesus kind of looked at them and said, "Neither. Neither. But because there's a purpose in this, there's a reason in this." To them, well, obviously, if a kid is born deformed or unable to see, or if something horrendous happens to a person, they've asked for it. Oh, but there's many reasons why. And that it's hard for us to put down to it. One of the saddest things is when somebody asks, "Well, if God is so good, why would this or that happen?" And to them, I often say, "Well, you're confusing the word good there. Good meaning always beneficial, right? Sometimes things happen because we live in a sinful world. We live in the land of the dying. We live where bad things happen. Sometimes the reason why somebody dies in a drunken car wreck is because somebody got drunk and drove a car. We can't sit there and try to put an exact reason to things. And yes, God has his reasons, and yes, God has his designs, but all the same, it is wrong for us to assume what they are. And that's what the debate was here. You know, what was God's intention? What do we think God was trying to do there? You know what? If God wanted you to know, guess what? He'll tell you. He'll tell you. There have been many a point in my life where while I was talking and I was panicking, while I was trying to get creative mentally, when I was trying to invent an answer, I only got myself more frustration, more anger, more bitterness. When I shut up and I just did what I was supposed to do, and I knew what God's will was for my everyday, and I participated in God's will for my everyday, it was after all that I look back and say, that was the answer, right? Listen, we can't try to make up what God thinks. Isn't that what he said? "My thoughts are not your thoughts. They're far too high for us to reach." What is best for us is to know the truth. Stick to the truth and make nothing else up as you go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there is so much temptation.